Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. On this week's show, we'll be talking about the new accessible TI-84 Plus programmable graphing calculator.
This powerful tool for both students and professionals has just been made fully accessible to the blind with both voice and haptic feedback. We'll talk with Sina Baram, who worked with Orbit Research and the American Printing House for the Blind to develop this exciting new product. But first to our tip of the week. This week's tip is, there are many benefits to using the same device that the sighted population is using. Here's Sina giving examples of why this is true for the TI-84 Plus.
One of the advantages to this is that it's a mainstream device. So as you pointed out, you went on the website and you saw the regular TI-84 Plus graphing calculator, and then you saw the unit on top. And so what's really important about that is we've talked about using it in a mainstream classroom. We've talked about the instructions being the same. But there's a wealth of resources out there, whether it's in math textbooks, whether it's online on YouTube videos. I've actually taken advantage of that myself, where I needed to help somebody with a way of doing, I don't even remember what it was. But I went online and I YouTubed it, and I was able to find out how to do it on a TI-84, and I had one here that talked, and I was able to follow along and do that. And so it wasn't my special, separate, accessible calculator that maybe or maybe not has those things, or I had to translate X, Y, and Z. It was the exact same keys. It was the exact same messages being read out to me that the person said would be on the screen, and it was the exact same answer. And so that, to me, is a really big deal, because according to TI, this is in the top two most documented calculators out there in terms of available resources.
So you can leverage off the work that everybody else has done.
Exactly. That's a really big deal.
And I assume the documentation is all accessible.
The documentation that obviously will be coming from APH, that will definitely be accessible. That would be very bad if it was not. Now, the documentation that's available online is what we're all used to. Some of it obviously will be accessible, and others of it won't. It's always from different sources, whether it's from TI or whether it's from somebody's blog. We're all familiar with some of the accessibility challenges that go along with that. Having said that, though, because people talk about this calculator in terms of the names of the keys, and because that help mode maintains those names, we didn't come up with our own names for this, you can follow along. So if somebody's text says something like, oh, I hit second E to the X, or I hit second sign, etc., those are the same keys you would hit. And so it's accessible in that way.
And that seems like a real win-win situation if we can all be using the same device and working with the same paradigm.
Turning now to our low-tech item, we'll meet Sina Baram.
Okay, so you've been on the show several times before, but maybe you can reintroduce yourself quickly to our listeners.
Sure. Thanks for having me. My name is Sina Baram. I'm at SinaBaham on Twitter, and my website is sinabaram.com, SinaBaham.com. I'm a doctoral student in computer science at North Carolina State University, and over there I do research into accessibility, mainly touchscreen interfaces and multimodal interfaces for exploring graphical information in an eyes-free way or without vision.
And we should also let our listeners know that you are totally blind.
I'm functionally blind. I have a little bit of light perception, but Braille user, cane traveler, screen reader user, etc.
Can you give us like a 30-second summary of your dissertation work?
Sure. So my dissertation concentrates on examining an eyes-free approach to exploring graphical information. Specifically, maps are one example. And so I use different access overlays, which actually is a term coined by a previous guest on your show named Sean Kane, who you both know. And an access overlay is this virtual software layer, you can think of it, for your listeners who are familiar with the iPhone they'll be familiar with an access overlay because that's how VoiceOver works. And what I do is use that same approach, but instead of exploring a UI, a user interface, like buttons and list boxes, that kind of thing, I use it to allow the user to explore graphical information like a map or bar charts or things of that nature.
And if that whets your appetite, we did an entire show talking to Sina about his dissertation research and some other related topics to do with human-computer interactions, and that's show number 1314. And he was also on 1311 and 1312, which was our annual summary of highlights at the CSUN conference. And we did a show featuring Sean Kane. That was number 1204 about enabling the blind to use touchscreens. And your dissertation research ties directly into the work that you've been doing on making Texas Instruments graphing programmable calculator accessible.
Right. So Orbit Research and the American Printing House for the Blind, or APH, got together, and they wanted to make an accessible graphing calculator. So the calculator that they went with is the TI-84 Plus, and I'm doing some consulting work with both of them, with APH and Orbit, and helping them out with a couple of concepts like the sonification for the graphing and just usability testing, that sort of thing. And also, I'm a good example of a power user, because this is the kind of tool that I wish I had when I was an undergrad in college, or actually even a high school student.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
For this week's focus topic, we'll be talking about the Orion TI-84 Plus Talking Programmable Graphing Calculator.
How did you get involved in this project in the first place? This isn't part of your PhD thesis, but I understand you do a lot of consulting on the side.
I do. I wear a lot of hats. And so one of my other hats is that I own a consulting firm, and we help different organizations, whether they be museums or Fortune 500 companies or small little startups, on various accessibility issues or technology issues. And so through mutual friends, I happen to know Ken Perry. He's a friend of mine over at APH. He's the project manager for this project. And then a colleague of mine, Venkatesh, over at Orbit Research. He's one of the co-founders of Orbit Research, actually, and the lead on this project, the TI-84 Plus graphing calculator. We started talking about it, and they pulled me in first as a tester. And then I guess I was a little bit too squeaky and too loud, so they started bringing me on a little bit more. And so I'm happy to help out. It's really cool to see such a dedicated team of folks working on this, because it's not a simple problem. This is a pretty complicated device. It's a pretty complex tool and goes all the way into, you know, graduate level mathematics, physics, engineering work, and they're trying to make the entire thing accessible. So it's a pretty exciting thing to help out with.
So give us the high level view of what the TI-84 Plus calculator is.
Sure. The TI-84 Plus graphing calculator is, what the name implies, it is a graphing calculator. So what does that mean? It means that it has a screen for sighted users. And this screen, as I'm just feeling it right now, and we can probably get the specific specs offline, but it's about 1.5 inches diagonal, maybe let's say a 2-inch diagonal screen. So a reasonably small screen, but in that screen, you have a lot of things being displayed. Number one, you have all of your calculations. So anything you do in the main screen, like you take the sine of an angle, or you do some exponential math, anything of that nature, all of those calculations are there for you. And it's like a history too. So you can see your previous calculations as well. But the main reason for a multi-line display, a screen like this, is that it can graph. So it can graph functions. So if you think back to algebra or any other math class in which you've encountered graphs, this can do that. It can do Cartesian graphs and polar graphs. It can even do bar charts and statistical plots. And so that's really powerful, because you can have data and you can explore it on your calculator, or you can have various functions from mathematics or engineering and explore what they look like, where they intersect. For example, you can graph multiple things on one screen and see where they intersect, and so on and so forth. Calculus, of course, where you're taking the area under the curve. So all of these things are benefited from graphing. unfortunately, if you can't see the screen, then you're not in a very good position to be able to take advantage of that information, especially not in a handheld way. And if the device doesn't talk, then you can't use it to begin with. So what Orbit and APH got together and did was they added a device to the top of this calculator. And what that does, it's about the size of a deck of cards, actually a little bit smaller on the top, but swooped down on the sides. That device is also the device that talks. Inside of it is a pair of stereo speakers, one on either side. There's a USB port or two on top. That's for allowing you to access the data port of the calculator, but in addition to charge the battery inside of this talking unit. And it also has a stereo vibrotactile motors. So it has two vibrating motors inside. And so you might be thinking, what in the world is that for? It's the same kind of thing that makes your cell phone vibrate when you have it on silent. And the reason that we have those in there is because those allow for haptic feedback. And so that lets you have one more dimension of information, not just audio feedback, but also haptic feedback.
Does it also have a headphone jack?
It does have a headphone jack. That's actually an excellent point, because if you're in a classroom environment, you might not want to disturb others around you, but you still might want to be using it, obviously, in class to follow along with calculations. And so it does have a headphone jack as well.
Can you describe the buttons on the talking device?
On this device, there are some buttons. There's a grouping of six buttons on the left, and there's a grouping of five buttons on the right. And I'll explain what those are. The six buttons on the left, for any Braille readers out there, are exactly in the shape of a Braille cell. So you have a column of three buttons, and right beside it, another column of three buttons. And these buttons allow you to change the speed of the voice, the volume. They allow you to play a graph or pause the playback of a graph. I'll talk about that in a second. They allow you to navigate the different preferences screens and so forth. Now, to the right of those six buttons, the two groupings of three, there is a direction pad. There's an up, a down, a left, a right, and an enter button, or a up, down, left, right, and center button. And that's used to navigate through preferences or to navigate a screen reader cursor around the calculator. That's how you can tell what previous things on the screen are, by using those arrow keys. And you can use those for other things as well, like navigating through the values of a graph, etc.
Now that sounds quite simple. But the base TI-84 Plus has a whole lot more buttons than the talking part. Can you describe the layout of that?
On the original TI-84 graphing calculator, at the top, below the accessible portion, on the top is a screen. And underneath the screen, you have five buttons. These are, you can think of as F1 through F6, if you will. There are keys like Y equals and the graph key and the trace key, etc. And then underneath that, you have a six-pack of keys aligned to the left. And those are various keys. They have second, etc. To the right of those keys, you have a D-pad. Now, this D-pad, up, down, left, right, is for the calculator. It's separate than the cursor keys and the graphite unit up top. And the reason for that is because that's to control the screen reader, those keys up top. Whereas these cursor keys on the calculator itself, they're the regular cursor keys. They're the ones that allow you to move the cursor around on the calculator. They're the ones that allow you to go through the calculator's menus and so on and so forth. So underneath that six-pack and D-pad, you have three rows of five buttons, so a total of 15 buttons. And that's where your trigonometric functions are, as well as some other calculations as well. And underneath that, you have the regular, I often refer to it as the T9 keypad, but basically 7, 8, 9, 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3. So think of the computer numpad, not the phone numpad. 1, 2, 3 are on the bottom, not on the top. And underneath 1, 2, 3, you have a zero, decimal point, and negative. So it's very easy to type in numbers with that numpad, because negative 0.3 is doable without really moving your thumb a whole lot. And to the left and the right of that numpad, you have a column of buttons, and it's the ones you might expect on a regular calculator. To the right, you have equals, times, plus, minus, divided by, to the power of, and to the left, you have some other buttons as well. The bottom leftmost one being the power button to turn the unit on. Now, that might sound like a lot of buttons, but I'm feeling this calculator as I'm talking about it. What's nice about it is that they're actually grouped rather, well, A, logically, but B, ergonomically. And what I mean by that is there are some obvious things, for example, a little bit of a tactile difference on the 5, but also the power button has a plastic lip underneath it. The column of buttons for times, multiply, and subtract, they're all separate from the numpad. There's some spacing in between. And then, as we were talking about those 3 rows of 5 buttons, they're grouped by themselves and they're aligned. So it's very easy, like a grid, to navigate this. Even though there are, in fact, a lot of buttons, they're pretty easy to find in terms of what group that you're looking for.
Now that you've described this unit in a fair amount of detail, can we have a demonstration of how this actually works in practice?
Let's power it on.
Power on. Home screen.
And we're on the home screen. So let's hit the second key 3 times to go into help mode.
Says help on. Press this key 3 times again to exit help mode.
So it gave us a message of how to exit help mode if we so choose. And let's hit some buttons.
Y equals. Rings of graphing equation entry. Trace. Displays graph screen in trace cursor mode. Window variables. Displays graph viewing window.
And we have other keys that we can press as well. For example,
toggle preferences menu selection.
So I hit that button on the actual unit on top of the calculator, as opposed to one of the calculator keys. Those also have descriptive text for the help screens. In the help for the various keys, you can hit the second key, and then you can see the secondary function for these various keys. So, for example, we have a key like
PRGM opens program editor.
Or we can hit second.
Do superscript ND. Activates second function mode.
And now hit it.
Draw. Displays the free draw dialog.
We can exit help mode and go graph something by hitting second 3 times.
Do help off.
And then we can go to the Y equals screen.
Y equals. Y1 equals sine open pin X equation enables graph style is line.
That makes sense. That's a sine of X. Nice, simple graph. The graph style is line. So let's hear what that sounds like.
Trace.
I'm going to hit trace, and then I'm going to play it.
Playing equation 1.
Now, there's multiple modes of negative value indication. One is that you can hear static when the graph is below the x-axis. The other is that the calculator will actually vibrate in your hand. So we have a multimodal approach of displaying negative values. Let's go back into the graph.
Y1 equals sine open pin x equation enables graph style is line.
And let's change this.
Cursor moved from equation to equal, equation disabled.
I'm going to disable that one. Let's go down one.
Y2 equals inverse tangent open pin x equation enables graph style is line.
Let's trace that.
Trace.
And now we'll hear.
Graph plotting completed.
And that lets us know that it's completed, plotting it, and now we can hear it.
Playing equation 2.
And again, I could feel the calculator vibrating in my hand as it was negative. So you have other abilities. For example, you can toggle things such as
speech mode, tone mode,
to switch between the various modes when cursoring through a graph. You can use the Orion keys up top to read the status line of the graph. So for example,
2y2 equals TAN inverse open pin x blank.
Right? And you'll notice there's no close paren there, and the TI doesn't force you to put a close paren on things like tangent. If it can figure it out, it'll do it. And so that one is our Y2 equation, and it says inverse tangent of X, so we can know where we are. We can also step through graphs, hear the values, and zoom in on them using the zoom menu. And basically, a whole host of functionality is available here. And the big takeaway is that it all talks. And so whatever the regular TI-84 can do, the talking TI-84 Plus will read all of those various screens.
And if you're listening to this in stereo, you will have noted that the sound moves from one side to the other as the graph is being audibilized for you. Of course, if you're only hearing this in mono, you won't hear that. But that's another added benefit, so you can tell the direction the graph is moving in.
A few months ago in show 1326, we featured Math Tracks, which is just software that runs on a computer and does similar things. they, in addition to the sonification, also have a description of the graph? Does this calculator do that?
It does not right now. So MathTrax does something interesting in which they've got a few heuristics to give a description of the graph in prose or in text. So they'll say things like a line ascending from negative to positive 7 on the x-axis, or a parabola pointing this way or that way. Now, that's pretty great in terms of exploring a function or exploring a graph, but it has one downside if you think about a calculator, and that is that this calculator can be used on exams. And the downside to offering that level of description is that it might be offering an unfair advantage to the ICE-free user or to the user of this graphing calculator as opposed to the regular TI-84+.
That would be like super accessibility and wouldn't quite be fair in an exam.
Right? Part of the design decisions that go into this, sometimes even though you can do something, you can't always do it because then it wouldn't be allowed on an exam. And the entire point of this is that this should be used just like the regular TI-84+ graphing calculator, except it's accessible. Not it does more than, but except it's accessible. And that then lets you do all sorts of things like use it on tests or exams, or use it in the classroom and follow along with a sighted teacher, and she doesn't have to learn or he doesn't have to learn anything new. For the blind student, it's the same instructions that are being given to everybody else.
Is this a programmable calculator also?
This is a programmable calculator. You can program it both on the device itself, which can be rather arduous. And also, you can transfer code to it from your computer. The code editor screen on the calculator itself most likely will not be fully accessible in version 1. But the advantage to having this unit on the graphing calculator and the approach that APH and Orbit took is that software updates can be delivered without replacing the device. The reason that's really powerful is, even though that code editor might not be accessible in version 1, it might be accessible in version 1.2 or 1.5 or 2.0. And so that's a really big advantage, because it means that it's not a stagnant device that you're getting. It's something that can be updated and made even better as bugs come up. They inevitably will, of course, right? Because there's software and hardware playing together, and as new features are added.
One more question about the calculator itself. Does it also do symbolic math? So I can say X plus Y equals 2.
You could do that, but there's a little bit of a catch. So the TI-84, the calculator itself, this isn't an accessibility thing, does not do symbolic manipulation. Now, there are some things you can still do symbolically. For example, you can easily have this thing solve 3x plus 4y equals 5, you know, 7x minus 8y equals 2. It could solve that system of two equations, because you can enter that in as a matrix and then do your basic linear algebra or algebra 2 approaches to solving that system of equations. But what it won't do is do the symbolic manipulation for you. Or you could even do factorization, but you'd have to do it in a numerical way, not in a symbolic way. Again, that's possible on more advanced calculators. I believe the TI-89 or 92 will do that, but those aren't available on exams. And so there's that double-edged sword again, where you don't want to go too much, because then it might lose all of the usefulness of all of the blind students that we have, not only in the United States, but around the world, that are not able to have an accessible graphing calculator with them.
We don't want people to cheat on exams.
Exactly.
Now for this week's high-tech item, how to obtain a unit if you want one now, and what upgrades to expect in the future. Are you at liberty to discuss some of the intended upgrade features?
I know that the things that we've been talking about are making the graphing better. We're happy with the sonification as it is now, but there's always room for improvement. So I know we've been talking about that. And I can talk a little bit about how we want to start maybe using haptics for some of the matrix screens. Right now, the matrix screens do read, and you can explore matrices and take their determinants and multiply them together and do all the things you might expect. But maybe incorporating a little bit of haptics there, or some shortcut keys for reading. There's definitely some exciting stuff not too much more of which I can talk about, but there are some neat improvements and some neat things we've been talking about in graphing, in matrices. Definitely we've talked about the code editor and also running external programs, for example, third-party programs on the device and making those work accessibly as well. So lots of stuff ahead and no clue on when. And I know the team at APH and Orbit are just really happy to get this thing out there and then work hard on the next version.
Well, this is obviously a really terrific device for both students and professionals. Where can people find out more about the Orion TI-84 Plus Accessible Calculator?
Definitely contacting American Printing House for the Blind will be the most direct route, but it will also be available worldwide as well, and that's going to be available through Orbit. So it's not just a North American product, and that's great because it really does open up STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math, something that you've talked about on this podcast several times, to the blind students across the world, not just in the United States. And by the way, it is available on the quota system. And that's really important for Schools for the Blind and other institutions because it is available on quota funds. And that's through APH, that's through American Printing House for the Blind. And what I'm going to be doing is in the show notes, I've provided you guys with some links and email addresses. And if you can make those available in the show notes, all of the contact information, including email addresses and websites, will be there, including phone numbers as well.
So that's where our listeners should look, www.eyesonsuccess.net, and find our show notes for more detailed information.
And if there's any information that isn't in those show notes, or if you have any further questions, even if I'm not the right person to answer it, I'll make sure that I get you to the right person. So please feel free to email me or contact me on Twitter or through my website. And just please feel free to reach out and I'll love to connect you with the right individual or just answer your question directly.
You mentioned you have a consulting company. What is that called?
It's called Prime Access Consulting. And this is a good problem to have, I suppose. We've been so busy with clients that we've been using my personal website because I haven't even had time to roll out a website for it yet. But it's called Prime Access Consulting.
And your personal website is?
The personal website is www.sinabaram.com. And I'll spell that. It's www.sinabaram.com.
Well, it was great talking with you about this exciting new product for students and professionals, and thanks a lot for sharing.
Thanks so much, as always, for having me. You guys are wonderful.
Thanks a lot, Sina. It's great. And we will have the exact links of where you can go to buy one of these devices, but they're really long, so you don't want us to read them to you, trust me.
But make use of our show notes, www.eyesonsuccess.net. You'll find the show notes and plenty of other resources.
That's it for show number 1334. The next 2 weeks on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking with Victor Tsaran and Caro Caron about their stories of meeting and dating across borders, their travels around the world, and the conditions for the blind that they found in various countries in Asia, as well as their podcast and their iOS app about healthy eating. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-258-0333 and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also follow us on Facebook at Eyes on Success and on Twitter at _EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success, and have a nice day.